On this day in 1950, the United Nations forces entered the North Korean capital of Pyongyang. In 1951, President Harry S. Truman signed an act formally ending the state of war with Germany. And on this day in 1960, the United States imposed an embargo on exports to Cuba. And so those are some of the things that have happened on this day in history. The weather for Wausau, partly sunny today, with a high near 60. Tonight, mostly cloudy, with a low around 42. Tuesday, a 20% chance of rain, mostly cloudy, with a high near 50. Tuesday night, rain likely, mainly after 1 a.m., cloudy, with a low around 42. Wednesday, rain likely, cloudy, with a high near 50. Currently in Wausau, we have fair skies and 43 degrees at 8:59. And welcome to another week of studying the Bible verse by verse here on Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret. The views and the opinions of this program are solely the views of myself and may not be the same as that of our management group, the Friends of WNRBLP, or our owners, the Wausau Area Hmong Mutual Association. And it is good to be with you, and I thank you for joining me. If you have a Bible, it would be helpful, I think, and much more beneficial to you if you would follow along as we go verse by verse in studying the Scriptures. And today, we continue our verse by verse study through the great book of Romans. And we come to Romans chapter 4, verse 1. Father, I pray that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the book of Romans. The Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has been talking about salvation by faith, and he's been proving from Scripture, and of course this is Scripture, that a sinner is justified by faith apart from works. And so we continue in chapter 4, verse 1, and it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found?" Okay, like I said, in the first three chapters of Romans, God has been driving home the point that to be saved, we must trust in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, which paid for our sins. Here, the Apostle Paul, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, asked this question: what about Abraham? Was Abraham justified by faith? Or was there a different plan back in those days? Maybe he was saved by his good works. What about Abraham? Let's look at verse 2. "For if Abraham were justified by works, he has something in which to boast, but not before God." If Abraham earned salvation, then he can sit around heaven and talk about how great he is and how hard he worked to get there. Verse 3. "For what says the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." What says the Scripture? That is a very important little statement. What says the Scripture? Scripture has the final word on every subject dealing with faith, morals, salvation, and God. That's why he asks the question. You know, we're dealing with a very important subject here. We're dealing with how do you get saved? How do you get to heaven? And he asks the question, well, what does Scripture say? Because that's the important thing. I would say this: don't look to man. or even to religious systems for the final answer. Because the final answer, when it comes to faith, morals, salvation, and God, is found in the Bible. It is God's Word. And the Bible says that Abraham was called righteous by God because of his faith. Well, now you have the answer. Look at verse 4. Now to him that works is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. Your employer doesn't say, I have a gift for you. He doesn't say that. You worked your hours. You earned your wages. He gives you what you work for. He doesn't give you a gift on payday. He gives you your wages. So it says, now to him that works, the reward is not reckoned of grace, but of debt. 5. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. You can't work for your salvation and trust in Christ for your salvation at the same time. You just can't. It's impossible. They are on opposite ends of the spiritual spectrum. It's like trying to go left and right at the same time. You cannot work for your salvation and trust in Christ for your salvation. You can't do both. You must choose which one you're going to go with. Everyone must choose. You can't be saved by faith in Christ until you quit trying to work your way to salvation. You can't be saved by faith in Christ until you quit trying to earn your way to heaven. But to him that works not, but believes on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. 6. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works. Salvation by faith, apart from the sinner's self-effort, is the only plan that will work, or ever has worked. There is no plan B, never has been. But let's read 6 and 7 again. Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputes righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. The best that anyone can hope for is what is laid out here in verse 7. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. That's the best that anyone can hope for. Man will never be good enough to get into heaven. Our only hope is that the bad that we have done is forgiven. 8. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. We sin, and we cannot make up for our sin. Our only hope is for God not to hold our sins against us. 9. Comes this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. You know, under the Old Testament way of doing things, God's Old Testament people, the Jews, had to go through the religious rite of circumcision in order to be right with God. So the question is, if salvation is by faith, does that faith need to include the rite of circumcision to be saving faith? Well, it's easy to find out. Just consider Abraham. The Bible says he was saved by faith. Now, did God say he was saved by faith before or after he was circumcised? When was his faith credited to him as righteousness? That's the question. For the answer, look at verse 10. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. There's our answer. Abraham had saving faith, and it didn't have anything in the world to do with keeping God's laws, including the very important law of circumcision. So there's the answer. And verse 11, and he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. A lot of words there. Let me try to clarify it for you. A policeman, a police officer, has authority to arrest people. But he better have his badge with him, because that badge is the outward sign of his authority. People can't see authority. A policeman has authority, but you can't see authority. It's invisible. But people can see a badge. And people look at the police officer's badge and say, that man has authority. Well, Abraham was saved by faith. You can't see faith. Abraham was saved by faith, and later he was circumcised as the symbol of his faith. Circumcision was the badge of his saving faith. Look at 11 and 12. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Verse 12, and the father of the circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. I know that might be hard to follow, especially if you're not following along in the scriptures, your own copy of the Bible. So, again, let me summarize what the Lord is saying here in these two verses. He is saying that the important thing is faith in the Savior Jesus Christ. Now, Jewish people who receive Christ today have probably been circumcised. Gentiles who receive Christ today may or may not have been circumcised. The important thing is, the absolute critical thing is, to have faith in Christ and therefore receive Him as Lord and Savior. That's the critical thing. Salvation is by faith, not by works. Salvation is by faith alone, not faith and works. 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. God did not say, Abraham, if you keep my law, then I will save you because of your faith. He didn't say that, because that wouldn't even make sense. Abraham, if you keep my law, then I will save you because of your faith? That wouldn't make sense. That would be like your boss saying, if you work 40 hours this week and earn your paycheck, then I will give you your paycheck as a gift. Well, it doesn't even make sense. It's got to be one or the other. Either you work for something and you get it as a result of working, or you don't work and somebody gives it to you as a gift. See? And salvation works the same way. God did not say, Abraham, if you keep my law, then I will give you salvation because of your faith. No. It's either one or the other. It can't be by faith or by works at the same time, like I said earlier. And salvation came to Abraham because of his faith, apart from any works. So notice verse 14. For if they who are of the law be heirs, that would be heirs of salvation, then faith is made void. And the promise of salvation by faith is what that refers to, is made of none effect. So you see what God is saying here? He's saying that salvation by works cancels out salvation by faith, and salvation by faith cancels out salvation by works. Just as working for your paycheck cancels all possibilities of that money being a gift. Do you see that? So, the point is, we have to choose. Are you going to try to earn your way to heaven by doing good deeds? Are you going to try to make up for your sins by doing good deeds and hope that your good works outweigh your bad works, thinking that that's going to get you into heaven? So we have a choice. You can go that route if you want, or you can believe God when he says, by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And you can believe God who says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. But you have to choose. Are you going with self-effort, or are you going with faith in Jesus Christ? Because one cancels out the other. It can't be both. And you see, I'm going with faith in Jesus Christ. And every true Christian does that, because that's what Scripture says we need to do. It is 9:14, actually going on 9:15 right now. So it's time for a break. Please listen to this. I'll be back in a couple of minutes. You are listening to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret.
Birds that can count. Get the details next on today's Creation Moments. And now, here's our Creation Moments host, Ian Taylor.
Researchers spent every day of four breeding seasons in a Canadian marsh watching the behavior of nesting American coots. The coot looks very much like a duck. They concluded that coots can count. The researchers found that 41% of the nests were victims of stealth egg layers. Stealth egg laying takes place when a female coot sneaks into an unattended nest and lays an egg for another couple to raise. Well, this is a problem, because the extra mouth to feed increases the likelihood that some of that couple's own hatchlings will starve. It was observed that the mother coot protects her young by rolling the stealth egg out of the nest or burying it in the nest material. The stealth eggs are usually a slightly different color, and the mother coot can discriminate between these eggs and her own on the basis of this color difference. However, researchers wanted to know if the coots were actually counting their eggs. Reviewing the data on each nest, researchers discovered that the coots who accepted foreign eggs usually laid fewer of their own eggs, presumably to prevent starvation of their own young. And from this, they concluded that the coots can count. The psalmist says that God's thoughts are beyond counting. However, his most important thought towards us is one of love because of his Son, Jesus Christ.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
With fair skies in Wausau, it's 44 degrees at 9:17. Welcome back to Scripture Verse by Verse Radio. My name is Michael Moret, and we are studying the book of Romans, chapter 4. We pick up right where we left off, and that would be in verse 15. But I want to go back and begin reading in verse 13. The Bible says, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham, or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they who are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect, because the law works wrath. For where no law is, there is no transgression." In other words, if we were obliged to keep the laws of God for salvation, we wouldn't get salvation because we don't keep it. Not the standard that God has set, which is perfection. We don't keep it. We would get wrath for not keeping it. However, like the Bible says here in verse 15, Christians are not under law. We are not under law as Christians. So, we are not guilty of any transgressions for breaking God's law. God doesn't see us as being under His law. He sees us as being under His grace. And if we're not guilty of any transgressions, well, then we're clean. Yeah, I know, in practice we sin. But since Christians are not under law in the eyes of God, we're not guilty of transgressions, we are clean. Like Jesus told His apostles, "You are clean because of the word that I have spoken unto you." So as far as Christians are concerned, no guilt, no transgressions, no wrath. 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the descendants, not to those only who are of the law, but to those also who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Abraham is the spiritual father of all Christians. That means anyone who is saved the way Abraham was saved. And that's by his faith in the Savior God, who we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. 17. As it is written, "I have made you a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead, and calls those things which are not as though they were." Abraham knew, like we know, that we're not perfect. But we put our faith in a saving God who calls things that be not as though they were. And we are not perfect. But God calls things that be not as though they were. That's how, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, He can call our imperfection perfection. 18. Talking about Abraham, who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, "So shall your descendants be." Abraham believed God. He had faith in what God said, not because what God said seemed plausible or even possible, because it didn't. But he believed God because he trusted God's character. See, and God credited that faith of his to as being righteousness on his part. He was justified by faith, by his trust in God. And notice verse 19, still talking about Abraham. "And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body as now dead, even when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb." God told Abraham, who was 100 years old, that he and his 90-year-old barren wife, who never could have children, God told Abraham that they were going to have a child. And that made no sense at all. But Abraham believed because God said it. Verse 20 says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God." We honor God when we believe Him. When we believe the Bible, we are saying, "God, it may not make sense to me, but I trust You, and I trust Your integrity." 21. "And being fully persuaded that He had promised, that what He had promised, He was able also to perform." And that was Abraham. He was fully persuaded that even though it didn't make sense, what God promised, he would do. He was able to perform it. Abraham knew it. And when we understand that God can do the impossible, then we can believe Him when He says He will do the impossible. 22. "And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." See, there it is. The faith that saves us is the faith that believes God when he says, my son died on the cross to pay for your sins. If we believe that, and as a consequence receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, God says, I declare you to be righteous because of your belief in me. 23. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot earn righteousness. To be saved, we have to have righteousness credited to our account by God. He does that when we believe that Jesus died for our sins and rose again after 3 days. 25. Who was delivered for our offenses. That's talking about Jesus. He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Jesus was punished on our behalf on the cross. And the fact that God raised him from the dead proved that his sacrifice on the cross did the job. It also proves that when we put our faith in Christ, we are justified by God. You see, without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Christians would always wonder whether their sins were really paid for by Jesus. Let's go into chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, that's good news. God isn't angry with us anymore if we have received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Jesus Christ reconciles sinful man who was hell-bound to Almighty God. All is well between Christians and God, thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. 2. By whom, still speaking of Jesus, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We are saved by Christ, and we are given access to God by Christ as well. We are given access to God's grace, which provides salvation and fellowship with our Creator. It's all because of Jesus. 3. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation works patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. No one enjoys hard times. But for the Christian, suffering is not an end in itself. It is a means to an end, a better end. God uses suffering to chip away at sin and to make us more holy. And there are some great benefits to that. Verse 5, and hope makes not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given unto us. In other words, the holier we are, and that comes from suffering. Nobody likes it. I understand that. I don't like it. But when we have to go through hard times, when God allows hard times in the life of Christians, it is to draw us closer to Him. It is to make us more sensitive to sin. It is to chip away at sin and selfish attitudes and wrong attitudes and make us holier. And the holier we are, the closer we are to God. And the closer we are to God, the more sure our hope in God will be. And when our hope in God is strong and secure, the love of God is going to fill us, and the love of God is going to flow out of us. And that's what he's talking about here. If you have any questions for me, any comments, you can write me at Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. That's Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, 54402-2211. Or you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. That's vbyvmm@aol.com. If you need somebody to speak at your church or your Bible study, again, my address is Scripture Verse by Verse, Post Office Box 2211, Wausau, Wisconsin, 54402-2211. Or you can email me at vbyvmm@aol.com. If you want more of the Word of God, you can go to the brand new Scripture Verse by Verse website and study the entire Bible online with my audio Bible commentaries. That address is meret.org. Let me spell it for you, meurett.org. That's meurett.org. I'm with you Monday through Friday at 9 o'clock. And so until tomorrow, this is Michael Moret for Scripture Verse by Verse. So long, everyone.